David, I have to ask a question.
Yeah, go ahead.
A few weeks ago, we ended up doing the show 1600 Pen because you thought it was the show That's My Bush. However, That's My Bush has a pretty decent reception. So I have to ask, a few weeks ago, were you actually thinking of Lil Bush and that's why we're doing it this week?
It's slightly more complicated than that. I thought That's My Bush was poor, like was worse rated. But also, I definitely was also thinking of Little Bush. I was like, when he said Little Bush, I was like, I think Kevin means That's My Bush. And then I went,
it was your
no,
list,
Little Bush.
The Bush cinematic universe both is both too shows. Large.
Both shows. And I will ask now for the 25th time. Are we recording?
We yes, are recording.
We are recording.
Welcome to Bottle Episodes.
Tonight's episode, the one where I learned to use a bedazzler.
Welcome to Bottle Episodes. I'm David Piccolomini.
I'm Lil Daniel Crow.
And this week we have a returning guest.
Lil Kevin Froelichs.
Yeah. Oh, man.
David is the shortest one here and didn't designate himself
as
well.
Oh, he's Tiny Kucinich.
I'm Big DP.
I got that big pickle.
Big pickle.
Oh, God. All right. And
it's me, Iggy Pop.
God, every...
That was insane.
Yeah.
When that showed up in the credits. Because he's never been someone notably, like, broke.
No, but he is somebody who likes to have a good time. He
doesn't
shown
sound
up...
like he's having a good time.
That's his secret, Cap. He's always having a good time.
Okay, so. But I think what... Okay, so the show we're talking about is Little Bush, resident of the United States.
I don't like how you pronounced it. It's Lil Bush.
Yeah. Lil
it's
Bush.
Not Little Bush.
Okay. Yeah, it's not Little Bow Wow. It's Lil Bow Wow. Yeah.
Lil Bush.
Well, then just Bow Wow.
But then in the show, they just call him Lil George.
They do... I did think,
and
like...
And I got really mad every time they did that.
Yeah.
You were mad?
Just call the show Lil George then.
Were you as mad as Lil Chaney, where you ripped the head off of a chicken and sucked its guts out like a demon?
God, it is like crazy. Like, it's also, it's such a telling thing of like the decorum, the breakdown of decorum, that you watch this show and you're like, you're being a little hard on these politicians.
It did make me think. There were many moments where I was just like, first of all, at least the episodes we watched, I was like, we're still debating most of the stuff that they're
without
like,
even
lampooning.
Like it's like, not even moved.
Yeah, like it's almost the exact same conversations that were happening then.
We don't think all British people are gay anymore.
That's true. And that was one I was going to bring up. I was like, oh yeah, there was like a hack bit for like in TV shows, definitely in stand-up, where people be like, well, is he gay or is he just British? Like,
and we're
that
gonna
was
doing,
like a premise that
we're
going to
be doing
hearing.
A lot of this episode.
Yeah. Folks, if you like 2008 era comedy, or if you're Gen Z and think millennials are all very, very hateful people, this is not going to help.
Yeah, this is really...
Because I'm going to be very hateful during this
episode. This is an episode for the Gen X part of our audience.
For younger Gen X and elder millennials who were in college when this bad boy was out.
If you thought Old School was the perfect movie.
Phew, boy.
So wait, Daniel, do you want to recap what this show is? We have not really described Lil Bush.
Resident so there's the a United point States. In the... In the 1930s, when there's a group of oligarchs that try to overthrow Franklin Delano Roosevelt.
Hold up, let him cook.
Now, I'm ready. I'm excited.
Now, one of these men was named Prescott Bush, and he used the connections that he had. You know, he was a very wealthy man, essentially an American oligarch, and he used these connections he was building over time to put his son George H.W. Bush in political positions. For a while, George H.W. Bush was, you know, head of the CIA, then he became vice president, then later president. And then at some point he had a son with no ambition who sort of fell into the presidency. That man's name was George W. Bush. And the 8 years under George W. Bush were some of the worst years in American history, solely because of the hacky George Bush comedy that came out every single day.
There
were two people that could do it. Their names were Jon Stewart and Stephen Colbert, and everyone else was denigrating themselves.
Not
by
Will Ferrell? You don't think Ferrell had a good...
He could do an impression. I don't know if his jokes were insightful.
Oh, I gotcha. I gotcha. Okay.
I don't know if he's a good satirist of George W. Bush.
I mean, the show was fun, I remember. But yeah, it wasn't anything that I was like, oh, wow, he's really taking him to task.
I mean, you couldn't escape George W. Bush jokes. And this show comes out in 2007. We're done, man. We're moving. Everyone is... The next campaign for president is already underway.
Barack Obama's
in the show.
Lil Barack.
Yeah.
Played they by do Tim the whole Meadows. 08, like, Democratic, the whole field was in there. And that was, like, the first election that I was, like, of age to. I was participating, and I was in college in New Hampshire. So, like, every single person, I got to meet all these cartoon characters in real life, but, like,
they're Kucinich.
There's an episode where you see Kucinich. There's an episode where all of the Democrats who were running at the time are in
is
it.
Is there a Lil Biden?
There must be, because he was I think literally there's like a joke where it's like Lil Biden, Lil Dodd, and they're basically twins and like no one can tell them apart because they look the same. And I think SNL did like a similar joke where it's like, we both kind of cancel each other out. And that was funny in 2008, whatever. But
and look
but
at
everyone's,
him now.
Everyone's
We're
a Lil. And,
love
yeah,
a Dom.
Yeah. But they're all called Lil, whatever their name is, except for Kucinich, who's called Tiny Kucinich. And he's just like this little elf man.
Jesus.
Yeah. 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 So is that hurtful to you?
No. But it's just such a like... This whole show is just, it is, I think that's
they
the
had
thing.
Exhausted every possible George W. Bush joke up until this point, and we were left with Muppet Babies.
I mean, if that's the elevator pitch, like, you're only selling it more. And I say this as somebody who was a fan of this show when it was out. This was something me and my friends in college, like, we would look forward to it with the same fervor as, like, the new South Park's out on Wednesday.
Oh,
like,
man.
Grab a beer and everybody hop into Jeff's room because we're watching. It was an event.
When you rewatch it, I hope you realize that it was no better than a Newgrounds animation.
I mean, that's basically what it was. Yeah. I was actually surprised. I mean, the animation is very like, it's not terrible. Like
it's
not
pretty
like
bad.
It's bad. Oh, it's bad. But it's not like Clone High, which is a great show. But like they had such a low budget that the animation is like intentionally bad and like things like that. Or like early South Park where it's literally the construction paper. So they're not very. This was like a notch above that. It's visibly bad, but it's like.
But it's that weird thing where like I noticed it where like their faces weren't moving, but their mouths were.
Their mouths move. Yeah. To save
money. To save money.
The clutch cargo technique.
Yeah. 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 So like but like
that was actually
like that.
George Bush's mouth.
I'd like to note to everyone I'm not 100 years old as I reference Prescott Bush and Clutch Cargo. I have to make that note on a lot of episodes.
But if you're not trying to have sex with women, you are 100 years old immediately. Yeah. Mm. Or men.
Yeah. I just.
Or 100 year old ghosts.
But I do want to say this for Lil Bush. It does have something to. It has relevance in the pantheon of television because it might be the first ever streaming exclusive show, possibly.
Wait, really?
Exclusive?
Because, okay, there's a weird twist.
I watched it on Comedy Central.
Well, okay, so there's a weird...
So it's bought by Comedy Central.
There's a weird twist at the end of this episode that I had no clue about. When the production company rolls and it says an Amped Mobile production. And I went, that's weird. That probably explains why it feels so Newgroundsy. And I vaguely remembered Amped Mobile. I remember they existed, but I didn't really know what their story was. So it turns out they had exclusive programs that you could watch on your phone.
Whoa.
And they went out of they went bankrupt 3 days before Lil Bush premiered on Comedy Central.
Oh, wow.
And they were out of business before the first season ended. So their last product was Lil Bush. An episode aired after they were defunct as a company that still says Ammo. But
what were
before,
they watching it on? Like your but before, LG flip phone? Like,
yeah.
But like before, someone texted you a video and then it would just crash.
No, it had a central like
Wooka.
It had a central. It had an app that had a lot of like
little bushes.
So they had stuff from TV channels that would send like small clips. You could be, something from ESPN, something from MTV.
Yeah.
But Lil Bush, prior to being on Comedy Central, was a show that you could watch only on Amped Mobile. Wow. You had to be a subscriber to Amped Mobile. You had to have one of their phones, and you could watch Lil Bush on their
phone. Oh, okay, so they had a specialized phone. They had a special phone that could have this app.
But it wouldn't have looked great.
No, but that's what, like...
Well, that's they were hoping for with the animation.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, you don't want to have too good of animation, it'll crash the phone.
But that's in, like, 2004, 2005.
Yeah.
I feel like... because the segments, they're broken up into two smaller segments in the show. It's not like one episode, it's two 10-minute
episodes. It's like Muppet. It's very Muppet Babies. Yeah. Square 2 or Rugrats, like two 15-minute.
My guess would be they literally just took the segments from the phone.
Yeah.
And then put them on Comedy Central.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Of course.
Because it says the show aired in like 05. But then that doesn't actually make sense, because if these were from 05, they wouldn't have had Obama. So I guess they might have made news.
No, that was the. I think it's the thing of.
Maybe like, some of them some are.
I think there's some like, yeah, there were some that were exclusive to this probably. And then when Comedy Central got it, maybe production value went up, and that's why it has this slamming animation.
Well,
in
the second season, from what I can tell, seems to be more
worth
one.
Saying that again, this got renewed for a second season.
As Bush was a lame duck. He was the lamest duck of my life. Like, as soon as the midterms were done, he was like, you'll never see me again.
Yeah.
There's a financial crisis. Have fun next, guys. I'm going to Texas to live on my ranch. You guys hate me. You're never going to see me again. And that's when this show...
I'm going to paint dogs.
I miss when 9/11 happened.
That's when this show premieres. He's already retreated from public life. You're never seeing
Bush
anymore.
It is weird. That's My Bush was like also on Comedy Central around the same time. And it was much more... like I feel like that show was like 04, like a solid like halfway through. And it was like...
No, That's My Bush was immediate.
Was it even sooner?
When they were in production, they were sure it was going to be Al Gore at the election. So they had to change it at the last minute. So that's
supposed to be That's My Gore?
I something like that.
Yeah, or some other.
Yeah, it probably would have been a different.
Yeah. They had to change the last minute, but that's how soon after
it's
it was.
All About Al.
All About Al.
All About the President.
Al in the Family. Come on.
Al in the Family. There we go.
But I just.
I love it getting desperately recast.
Yeah.
Wow. As the Supreme Court's deliberating, you're just trying
that
to.
That happens. I mean, that must happen more than we realize it. Like, that's a great example of it, but like the. There was the South Park episode that was like McCain and Obama, and they literally had to do two versions of the episode, and it was like a heist episode, but it was like, well, who's behind the heist? We have to change the reveal of the heist depending on who wins.
Wow.
And like they had like two, they were pretty similar, and then the very like astute Bill Hicksy observation of like, oh, they're basically the same guy. Then like, haha.
Wow.
Which again, like, you know, if this were made today, people would be like, one, why are you making a show about a president from 20 years ago? But two, they'd be like, oh, you're kind of doing the both sides thing. And it's like, but if they do it funny? I was shocked at how much of this I still laughed at in the pilot. In the second episode, when we talk about any of these, I was like, oof, yeah, some of this has not aged well at all.
But I want to say there's one joke in the pilot that I do actually like.
Okay, let's talk about like the pilot.
I'm not done talking about societal issues of Lil Bush before we move
okay,
on.
Okay, yeah,
about
yeah,
the,
yeah, yeah.
Because there is this
I thought you were kidding, but...
No, okay. there's this weird thing that happens where a bunch of people, every time there's a new president, they just sort of rush to make shows about them. I guess it really only happens for Republicans. That's My Bush...
Yeah,
Lil Bush, the president show for Trump.
Yeah, yeah.
Stephen Colbert's Our Cartoon President for Trump. It never works. It never works. No one wants these shows. Stop making these shows.
I'll say it again. That's My Bush and Lil Bush. I was on board. They are making them for me.
Kevin,
but no, they weren't
like...
successful.
Kevin, I'm looking at the jacket you brought in. They are made for you.
Yeah, I came in with a corduroy jacket. So,
Kevin, if you were... like born like 30 years earlier, you'd be the most milquetoast Vermont liberal.
Oh yeah. My god, yeah.
Hiding in the suburbs being like, I got the house for 20 grand, what's the problem, kid?
There's also
wow, That's My Bush. You really took down a president.
Get
that's
him.
Helping me
get him. All right, but as long as it doesn't hurt my 401k.
During Obama's presidency, they made a movie about him and Michelle's first date. I can't. Southside With You, I believe it was called.
Oh,
bombed.
Yeah.
No one wants to see that. No one wants to see media about the sitting president. No one wants
they
it.
Did. Oliver Stone tried with W. The
oh god,
and
yes,
and that was bad.
Bombed.
It bombed. I saw it in theaters, and because any fictional George Bush content injected in my veins. But
what is
that
it about?
I don't know.
Did you see Vice?
Like, did he go to college?
I did see Vice. Yeah, but that was at least like
after,
you know 9 years later.
And
so
that was about the vice president. Yeah. Kind of. Yeah, it was.
You got
Sam Rockwell. Rockwell's Bush in
Sam
it,
Rockwell's
though.
Bush just
great.
Honestly really channeling Lil Bush energy in it, like just what if I'm just like kind of a buffoon and a man child. Yeah. Like
so okay, any other societal issues of Lil Bush or Amped? What happened with Amped? It just crashed.
So Amped, for some reason, they have this super futuristic technology where they're streaming video to people in 2005. And this is not, this is not, this is not a,
show.
By the way, this is not a premium service. So other cell phone companies would do a credit check for the last 30 days to make sure you could pay your bill. And Amped was like, the people that want this crazy futurist technology, they don't have money. We know that. We're Amped Mobile. And they were doing credit checks like 3 months past to see if people were able to pay through. And so no one was paying their bills for Amped Mobile for this thing that was actually really expensive and futuristic. And that's why they went out of business.
Wow.
Like, that doesn't make any sense to me. Clearly, if you're the first people that are like putting video on cell phones for people to watch, you should be a premium service, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Rather than
in 2005, like that's an insane.
Well, also, though, I think it really speaks to the media that they put out, because they put out Little Bush, and everybody went, "Oh, no, thank you. This isn't worth my this. There's nothing good about getting this immediately."
They were like Quibi, but with hardware. Like they made, like they had a hardware that you had to buy that would stream.
Imagine if Quibi was, we can go after the Boost Mobile market. That's what they were.
What if we could have little cartoons for drug dealers to watch on their burners before they break them?
That's exactly what they did.
Okay, hold on, guys. That's not a terrible idea.
I have been watching Breaking Bad, so I did mostly think of it as Badger and Skinny P, just
like just cute little like low rent cartoons that you just put on burner phones.
Yeah,
I think if you're the burner phone with cartoons on it, I think you might win.
Yeah,
that's not hard to do either. That takes up so little data.
True, especially with this level
of animation. Data was expensive back then. And you know who didn't have the money to pay for the data?
Everyone's dad. Everyone's dad. Yeah. If you asked for a please, Papa, may I have a little data? And he's like, well, then I got to turn the heat off. And
you know who's not amped about this bill? Me. All right, let's talk about Little Bush.
All right.
Please.
Okay, please. One, get a better Bush impressionist.
Yeah, that guy.
And you pulled any guy off the street in 2007, that's the Bush impression he does.
It is.
It's a very basic Bush.
We're gonna smoke them out of their holes, out of their caves.
Just
there you go.
There we go.
You're hired.
Wow. Yeah. I could have had a career if I wasn't a child during it.
Hey, chill, Sparky. Hey, we got him.
Oh, mission accomplished.
Hi, I'm Lil Bush.
Yeah, every one of those is this. It's we're all correct.
Okay, so then here's the thing about Lil Bush. Sorry, Lil Bush.
Dave B. Mitchell, by the way, do it the third
tier David Mitchell. Oh, David Mitchell's in this? Oh, wait, that, no, oh, oh, okay, fine.
Wait, because there's David Mitchell on Web.
Yeah, David Mitchell, the author,
Beep Show,
who wrote Cloud Atlas, and
that actually would be a worse he was
on
Mitchell.
He was on the writing staff for
he
this.
Was, yeah, you can tell, because it just keeps folding in on itself.
So
Tom Hanks is in it for some reason.
Yeah.
But do you know who is in it for some reason?
Tim Meadows.
Iggy Pop.
Ignatius Pop.
That's his Harry Potter name.
He's playing Lil Rumsfeld.
Yeah. There is an episode where they put a benefit concert together. Like, who should we get? And Rumsfeld says, like, how about Iggy Pop? He's the greatest vocalist of any generation. And it's Iggy Pop saying And then Iggy Pop guest stars as himself.
Oh, man.
And it's, yeah. It's
so I think David Mitchell may have been on the writing staff when you described that scene. But here's the weird thing. They have Rumsfeld as the voice of reason.
Yeah, well,
Rumsfeld.
We don't understand why they did that, because there are known knowns and there are unknown knowns.
Oh,
and
yeah.
There are unknown unknowns.
They put that in there.
They did.
As if high teenagers watching Comedy Central in 2007
are familiar with the memos.
Yeah, they're familiar with Donald Rumsfeld's mantras.
Yeah, there were so many
things.
The
documentary's not coming out for another 6 years,
there's no way I got it when I watched this in
2007. Errol Morris watched this episode. He was like, what's that all about? Let me look into this.
Little line.
This is 2007, though. Yeah. Everybody did know these references.
No, the unknown, no. Like, Donald Rumsfeld's personal beliefs were not, like, things he was saying to his staff were not well known.
Oh, they weren't saying them on, like, The Daily Show?
No.
At that point?
Memos that had leaked out at that point. Yeah, like, that was one that, like, people knew about the memos, but, like, I don't think it would have been, I think that would have been, like, if you were, like, a political news junkie, that's who that joke was for. Gotcha.
And they're not watching this.
No.
I mean,
Crank Yankers just ended and this starts up. I don't think a lot of...
I like this more than Crank Yankers, I'll tell you that much.
I don't think a lot of...
Quit bragging, Kevin.
I wear corduroy.
Yeah. Man of taste.
But
I'm not... I appreciate the occasional crank a Yank will make, but...
I make a crank every now and then, but... I'll jerky a boy here and there.
I'll yank a jerky boy down to the crank factory, let me tell you.
All of this is better writing than Little Bush.
But okay, here's what I will
say. So then they just have Iggy Pop as Donald Rumsfeld being like, you sure you want to do that, Little Bush?
Well,
that's all Donald Rumsfeld is for. Here's the man that authorized torture.
Well, who else are you going to have, I guess? Is it going to...
Colin Powell was seen as the adult in the room.
You know what? That would have been... That's a much better choice, and they're racist for not choosing Colin Powell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's really what it comes down to. They wanted to get Iggy Pop, but they couldn't get Iggy Pop to play Colin Powell. Though he could have just played fucking...
It was 2007. No one's mad if Iggy Pop plays Colin Powell.
Yeah.
You make a great point. He could have played... But he also could have played Chaney, because Chaney is just like doing a weird...
Okay. Dick Chaney is such... a lampoonable figure, so rife for satire, and they simply have him going, rah, 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 no lines this man.
Whoa. Here's the thing. I think the way that they just like, how do we satirize this guy who is just like a shadowy figure of evil in real life? What if he's a little... We also haven't really said the premise of the show is that all the Bush administration are like elementary school kids.
Muppet babies.
It's Muppet babies for the Bush administration. So Lil Chaney is just a little like evil kid who's just like rah, 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 rah. Occasionally you get a word out of him in between, but he like bites the heads off of chickens and sucks their guts out. One episode he's crawling on the wall like The Exorcist, and like
they're doing that thing though where they're satirizing a weird element to satirize. They're going, sure. Dick Cheney's evil.
Yeah, his dad is Darth Vader and lives in the Death Star.
He's also right. Known, he was the puppet master.
Yeah,
right. Everyone knows that about Dick Cheney.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
My biggest complaint was I was like, oh, this is setting it up for George Bush to be the leader. And that was a big reason why so much went to shit was because...
But Cheney's also, he's a weird figure in some respects. It's like, okay, they do this episode later on where they think Tony Blair is gay. Haha, yeah. Very funny. But Cheney was this like a weird voice in the Republican Party. He's like, it's actually fine to be gay. And so now that you've taken all of that away from Dick Cheney, there's no opportunity for him to be like a voice in that episode that you can throw jokes off of.
Mm-mm.
Instead, they have him inside of Barbara Bush the whole episode.
Yeah,
they did do that.
No, wait, was that the same episode?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it was.
Okay, hold on. We're getting ahead of ourselves. Let's talk about Iraq.
Well, we didn't introduce the other characters.
Yeah. Oh, Condoleezza Rice
has a crush on Lil Bush.
Little Condi. Yeah, she is.
Which doesn't make sense. That's not something we know about Condoleezza Rice.
No.
Also, this is an alternate future where George H.W. Bush wins the presidency again.
No, this is just his first term.
This is just his first term?
This is
the
90s.
And but what age would George Bush be during the presidency?
Oh, an adult.
Yeah, he
already has a DUI under his belt.
He's, okay. He's got an amazing coke tolerance.
So this is in a fantasy world where George H.W. Bush is successful before his time, or he is... Or before his original time. In this middle nowhere.
George H.W. Bush is president, so they live in the White House.
But they're also, they go to Iraq.
Yeah, the first Gulf War.
I forgot about that. To Iraq so many times. Like, God, it's hard to keep
not
track.
Not bragging.
Yeah.
But the U.S.
I hear it's lovely this time of year.
We love sequels.
Yeah.
Or spinoffs, as we're called in Gaza.
Okay. A World War threequel.
God. Oh, man. Yeah, that was uncomfortable to watch now. Like,
just very, very casual jokes about the war in Iraq, or just like the military being like, let's send you over. And
what a shithole this is.
Yeah,
and
you're casual just like... jokes about torture. And
and you're just like, oh.
A good satirist could have pulled those off, though. These are lazy. They're not satirists.
Yeah,
the show is not satirical in the slightest, or they would actually be honing in on specific characteristics that make fun of them.
What's crazy though, and we like, I don't know if you looked at this, they are satirists.
The creator was a writer for The Simpsons something?
The creator was the head writer for The Late Show with David Letterman.
Which was never really known for its politics.
Yeah, it was never a satirical show.
80s David Letterman was like the cutting edge,
it's one of the most satirical, smart ass shows.
Can I point out though, this is on Comedy Central. Get someone from The Daily Show.
For sure. But I'm sure they had people from The Daily Show in the writer's room, although we should have looked that up. But the thing is, what's weird about it, and this is something that I notice keeps happening with these shows, is they're so mean-spirited.
Yes.
But
really? That's I think it treats him with kid gloves to a degree.
Well, but no, because all the jokes aren't, they're not even pulling punches. They're just like just swinging through with such cartoonish violence that it's almost Looney Tune level. So it doesn't, like, in the same way you can watch, like, Wile E. Coyote break all of his bones and you don't feel pain for him.
Sure.
Because in the same way, if you watch something like, even like Invincible, a really fun cartoon where there are, like, people getting absolutely eviscerated and it feels so much more real because the stakes are more real in the show.
Mm-hmm.
When they take these giant swings about torture and evisceration. And
they
all
definitely
stuff.
Treat the Bush administration with literally kid gloves. Like they make a child, and that's like, I guess, kind of the point. But it is that whole era of like Comedy Central television was like the jokes were mean and like pointed, like.
But they're mean, but they also, they don't, there's no body behind them. So even though they're technically punching up, so to speak, they're, it's with no real point behind it. They're just saying what they're doing is bad without doing anything that's not an empty platitude of maybe we should all get along.
The art style reminded me of the video game Backyard Baseball, if you're familiar with that at all. And I feel it had just as much to say politically.
Yeah. I think that's what they animated it with. Probably, they just played Backyard Baseball.
In that, we think Pedro should have been allowed to remain in this country.
Yeah.
Is that, like, he was one of the best characters in Backyard? Okay, I just want to make sure my reference was right.
No, you got it.
Yeah.
Cool, okay. Great, I'm going to edit out my insecurities.
No.
This podcast.
No. We don't edit.
Yeah.
You got it right, so there's nothing to be insecure about.
Much like the horrors under the Bush administration, we too must live with the horrors of your insecurities.
Oh,
Do you think they ever showed this at Guantanamo as torture?
This is what they blasted with all the lights on to keep people from sleeping.
They played the commentary for each episode.
And nobody could sleep because they were up all night laughing.
Guys, it's movie
night at Guantanamo.
We thought that torture was bad, so we said that in the episode. Did we do anything about it? No.
Yeah.
But we raised awareness. Those teenagers, I'm sure, voted in the next election.
Yeah.
So the first episode of Lil Bush, we probably should get into that.
Yeah. Oh my God. We're already 25 minutes in.
So Lil Bush wants to get a birthday gift for his dad.
Father's Day.
Oh yeah, Father's Day. For Big Bush.
Yeah. HW.
And
here he is. It's just
David B. Mitchell.
It's a real shame that it's not Dana Carvey doing this voice.
Couldn't afford him.
Definitely
couldn't afford him. Wouldn't be prudent.
Amped Mobile would have gone out of business so much earlier.
It's scary.
So he wants to give him a Father's Day gift,
and
they decide to go to Iraq to find him a good bit of news.
Because he's upset
Iraq.
That all he gets is bad press about invading Iraq in the 90s. And
then once they're in Iraq, most of the time is just spent with a song called Iraq and Roll.
That's
pretty much most of the time in Iraq.
And Halliburton Land, which is a little magical Willy Wonka.
It's the Green Zone.
The Green Zone.
Yeah.
Was it not Halliburton Land inside, though?
I think that's a subset of the Green Zone.
Yeah.
That was the safe, rich land.
Yeah, it's where all the rich people are hiding their money.
They also foresaw
the
2010
East,
Matt Damon film Green Zone.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. And then they end up deciding that they're going to take...
A boy.
And a war orphan. And then they'll be like...
Disabled?
I don't know, man. We never see his torso.
They call him Lamey. And I think it's because he can't walk anymore due to the shelling.
Rock strike?
Yeah.
They really... It is that thing where... Like, I guess it... It's hard for us to picture now, but there is this world pre-mass internet where we weren't just aware of the horrors that were happening
in such a
visceral way.
I was watching this and remembering what it was like to watch shows like this in 2008. And you just weren't, unless you were, like, I had friends who were, like, super plugged into the news and super plugged into politics, and the rest of us just found them annoying. They were right. They were right to be doing that, but they were, like... old school, like reading every newspaper and watching the news.
So they knew
what was going on, and those are the people that were like actually protesting while everybody else this was probably true for every person in college for the most part, but it was a big time for we're raising awareness for Darfur. What are we doing? We're gonna raise awareness, we're gonna have a bake sale, and it's like
we're gonna donate money. 6% of it goes to charity total.
Yeah.
But then they decide to bring the war orphan back.
Yeah.
And they'll have HW adopt him, so he'll get some good press for once. But they, when they shipped him over, he died. I assume he suffocated.
No, no. Jebbers.
Oh, no, you're right. Jeb
hugs him. And much like Of Mice and Men, he squeezes the boy to death. Also, yeah. Jeb is like a mentally ill, challenged, not mentally, a mentally challenged.
Yeah. They've made him like a weird, like deformed boy.
Yeah.
Which is another, like, it's a lost opportunity for comedy that two of your characters don't talk. They just make noises.
Yeah.
And also, it is, like, that's not... Jeb Bush is known for being, like, the boring, serious brother.
Yeah.
Not, like...
The caricatures are not...
They're not...
SNL does a better job of, like, the caricature of these people. Even the...
Even SNL.
Even W, even the Oliver Stone movie, like, does a better job to a cartoonish level, but this is a cartoon, so it's, like... Bush, I think they do a good job with, but all the other characters around him, like, don't. They don't do it.
You hear it in the episode about them being like, what do we think about Jeb? I don't know. Make him dumb.
Yeah.
And you're like, what? Why? What is... Right. What is?
But isn't the joke that George is dumb?
Yeah. Everybody can't be dumb.
Yeah.
Actually,
yeah.
That is true. I think everybody in the show is dumb.
Everybody's dumb.
Except for Rumsfeld.
Except for Rumsfeld.
Who was the dumbest?
Well, I mean, you know, that's how
no,
you...
No, well, Bush.
It's hard to say.
Yeah,
it's hard to say.
Right.
I don't know if anyone were necessarily even dumb people. They were just, I'll be polite and say, misguided.
Sure. Yeah. They fell in with the wrong crowd, which was each other.
Yeah.
There was, I mean, a couple of very funny jokes I thought was after the boy is killed by Jeb Bush's...
I think you're about to say the one joke that I like as well.
It did genuinely make me laugh where H.W. Bush is like, well, what do we do now? I'm going to get all this bad press. And Lil George is like, wait, I have an idea. Have you seen the movie Weekend at Bernie's? And then it cuts to them just showing Weekend at Bernie's in front of the White House. And they're like, everyone loves George Bush. 30% approval rating because he does a movie night with Weekend at Bernie's.
And I
thought that was so funny. And then, you know, they're stuffing a dead boy into a garbage can. But then they have all the newspapers, like, you know, with the headlines of like, everyone loves George Bush, 32% approval rating. And then like, press ignores dead boy in trash can, but it's in a newspaper.
Yeah, there's 20 seconds where this show works.
Yeah.
And you've described the 20 seconds. And if they could have maintained that over two seasons.
Yeah. That
we would have had a show.
Legitimately got me, which is
I can't believe they couldn't maintain the energy of stuffing a dead Iraqi boy in a trash can with a Weekend at Bernie's misdirection. Wait, what was the second half of that episode? Where did they go?
Is that the first kiss one?
It's the first kiss one. They all make a bet to try to
kiss
to try to get a kiss.
They keep calling Laura Bush fat. That's not what we know about her.
Chubby though. And that like George Bush is, and they're doing that. Actually, it's worse than that. It's early 2000s enough that they're doing. She's not anorexic. So she's chubby.
They're doing the.
George Bush is into.
Was
chubbies.
It Tyra Banks who was just like. Did like the fat suit thing.
Like
there was that. And then there was literally like plus size models were like a size 2 or whatever. It was like that. Or
I'm
like,
eating a chocolate covered Oreo right now.
Yeah. Was it Kate Upton? Like when she like was like Sports Illustrated, she was like, because she is a curvy lady, people were like, well, that's, they're finally getting the, they got a fatty on the, like some people and, like that was like that was the era of the 2000s. It was genuine hellscape. It was
literally making fun of George Bush for being into chubby women.
For being into chubby women. Chubby women being Laura Bush, who is a
what is Laura Bush known for?
I think being just
she killed two people with her car.
Great. That would be hilarious if she was terrible on her tricycle.
On her tricycle. No.
That would be very funny. I mean, although it's once again, it's tonally, I think I don't know, like why does this show, is it just the level of comedy? Because why does this show not work and like Seinfeld does? Because it's on its surface.
Better writing.
But just better writing? But like,
I think, I think the show, I think it works. I think it does. It's not doing it's missing opportunities to be really satirical. It's doing a great job of just like, what if we just had a goofy cartoon with some kids at school and they happen to be the Bush administration?
Okay.
They're not overthinking it or making it smart or worth your time in any way.
And I think,
can I just apologize? She only killed one person.
Oh, okay. Apologies.
I just checked.
Bush.
I like the idea of one guy listening to this being like, she only killed one.
Errors and omissions.
I think I was thinking of Matthew Broderick.
You were.
Sure, yeah.
That's fair. Or Caitlyn Jenner.
Caitlyn Jenner.
Anyway,
a lot of people kill people with cars.
Yeah, they're very dangerous. It's wild that anyone gets to drive. that's my political stance.
Sure, yeah.
I forget what we were just talking about.
Laura Bush.
Laura Bush. Chubby. Never mind.
Little George wants to kiss...
Yeah, he wants to kiss Laura.
Yep. So this is a funnier episode with satirical elements of every time he's about to kiss her, she wrecks her tricycle in some way, and another student ends up hurt.
That's what I was going to say. I think the reason this show doesn't work and like shows like It's Always Sunny and Seinfeld do work in that way is these characters don't have any love for each other, really.
Do you mean mean-spirited, for lack of a better word, like shows about terrible people, is that what you mean?
Yeah, shows about terrible people.
Okay,
you
but
have
they're
to feel
a group of friends, and like you, yeah, there's like something there. Even
Seinfeld
though,
feels like a group of people that like each other. Community honestly flirts with that too, where they play with that element of the group is actually toxic to anyone who's not in their in-group.
True. Yeah,
and so there's a lot more of like It's Always Sunny teams up against the McPoyles or whatever.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Bush doesn't have any of that. These guys like each other in any way. Like, even right. when they're being, there's no camaraderie around the group in the same way, I think, is
no.
part of the issue.
In fact, in the next episode, they, like...
Actively. But
they
even
actively
in, but even
follow Obama
one.
Instead of Bush, because they're like, well, let's blindly follow someone else. So, like, yeah, it's...
But this one, that's, I mean, that's a typical game you play, but it doesn't work because they haven't built up the
they
camaraderie.
Haven't built, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm really breaking down the show too much.
Right.
Nothing's
right.
funnier than that. But this point being with Condi being like, George, you can just kiss me,
yeah,
and we'll both win. And he's like, haha, funny joke. I hate you.
Yeah,
and you're like, what is the? I don't get it. Why do they hate each other?
They're doing that, you know, the '80s thing of like, oh, Teen Wolf is Michael J. Fox gonna kiss Boo or whatever her name is?
Right, but they don't give any reason why it doesn't work other than he just doesn't get it at all.
Yeah. The reason it works is because in real life he's married to Laura Bush, so it has to be that he's in love with Laura Bush. And that's it. Like, you could not watch this without understanding.
Right. And
like,
and
it doesn't work on its own. It doesn't work in a vacuum. It's
but instead of doing
it does work on a cell phone.
It only arguably better on a cell phone.
You wouldn't be able to tell how bad the animation is.
Yeah.
So that's, yeah, if they made it more like Connie's not being direct with him the entire time.
Yeah.
She's like, hey, we should just kiss and win. And he's like, haha, that's not how it works.
And then her B story is like, how do I get George to like me? And then instead she's just kind of there and occasionally shows up. It's like, what if you just kissed me? And then at the end she kisses Hillary Clinton. Cause sure.
I think this is actually the episode where Cheney, David, I'll hand this off to you.
Oh, okay.
This is the Cheney Barbara Bush song.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because that's right. Because Cheney wants to find out if Barbara Bush, or he comes over and he's like, do you want to kiss? Or
no,
he's
like,
she's like, oh, I guess we could fuck.
Well, yeah, because
she fucks
very,
a child.
She's very horny, but HW
is
will,
not.
Yeah.
He won't do anything because Republicans' dicks don't work. Famously.
No. Well, he loves saltines, so.
Well, yeah, he's in pocket with Kellogg.
Yeah.
Big Kellogg. Okay. So she's insatiably horny, and Dick Cheney is available and a tiny rapscallion.
Yeah. And also, in the context of the show, a child. So.
Yeah.
But also the most phallically shaped character, so.
Sure. I mean, it's, what are you going
to
do?
So they start, and then he tries to get a kiss, and she's like, no kissing. That's not what this is, because she does have some principles.
She has rules.
And then by the end of the episode, he is literally inside her.
Trapped inside of her
womb. They think
womb.
She's pregnant again.
And then it turns out it's just little dick.
And then they have to go and abort him.
Yeah. And meanwhile, Hillary Clinton works at the abortion clinic because Democrats love abortions.
Yep.
This was all of these scenes, I was just like having flashbacks to like every like... debate.
We're taking
like
both every, sides.
Well, just like every campus debate that was just like, all Democrats love baby killing. And it's like, thank God that's over. And We don't hear that no more.
Yeah, no one ever says that. Not even once.
No one ever says that, and Republicans don't, you know, use religion to say pretend that they never have abortions, even though they do because they got a tiny Dick Cheney stuck inside their wife and tales all this time.
And now they're drinking blood. That's what would be the show would just be about Democrats drinking blood.
Right.
At this point, which honestly, that sounds great. I would watch that.
Yeah,
that sounds much more fun. Little Condi, played by Kari Walgreen, who is like a pretty good voice actor who does a bunch of stuff.
Not the same one from Peep Show or the one that wrote, never mind, I'm kidding.
The one who wrote Cloud Atlas.
She plays Jessica in Rick and Morty.
Ah.
Oh.
And she's in like Kung Fu Panda and stuff like that. She's good for all her. Yeah.
She's a voice in the film. She's not in Kung Fu Panda in the same way Cheney is.
She's in the... Oh, yeah. She's inside the kidneys of Kung Fu Panda.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
She plays a parasite that Kung Fu Panda contracts. Oh. Tapewormo.
I didn't like when you said parasite because it reminded me that there are good media. There's good media out there.
So... Little Bush goes to the abortion clinic.
He's there because Lil Laura's protesting. He's trying to give her a smooch.
Yeah.
And then his parents show up.
Oh, he's trying to get born again.
Or he's trying to... No. He wants to be a sinner so he can join their, like... religious round table, book club, whatever.
Forgiving people.
Forgiving.
And he finds out everybody's a sinner so he can go.
First, he tries to murder his brother to be a murderer.
Cain and Abel style. Honestly, if you start reading the Bible, that's the first sin you get to.
Yeah. First, like, in the beginning...
You eat an apple, you don't feel different.
Yeah. The moral of the Bible is, like, once you get more than, like, two people, things start going south.
Can I just say that the first sin in the Bible is that no one edited that prose? Come on, let's cut it down a bit. Word of God, how about word of the editor, please?
Yeah. Letter two. A lot of those are letters to the editor, by the way. Yeah. A lot of those books.
Dear Corinthians.
I mean, literally, though.
Yeah, letters to the Corinthians.
If it was today, it would be like Luke's letter to Yelp. That's what the Bible would be.
Luke's Yelp about the Corinthians. Hey, guys, if you're enjoying the episode, don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast wherever you do that. And Kevin, where can people find you?
You can find me on... Spotify Spotify, Bandcamp, wherever you listen to music under my artist name, Goodbye Charlemagne. I'm also on Instagram at Kevin Froelichs.
Great. Perfect. I like these pauses we're doing for this one. Okay.
Yes, to help you edit.
Yeah, thanks. I needed more spaces to edit around your plugs.
Can you edit in an explosion sound?
Yeah, I guess so. It'll have already happened by the time you asked.
Great.
And one. Okay, anyway, you can find me at, they're going to be all over this, and guitar riffs. Oh my God, I'm adding so much work for myself. Okay.
Eruption.
So you can find me at, God, I've committed like the carnal sins of roommates today. I've played music, I've had sex, and had a podcast here.
Wow, the hat trick.
It's been a day.
I was only here for two of those. Folks at home, I'll let you guess. But I'm smiling.
I didn't have
to have sex with Dave.
Anyway, guys, check out my Instagram at DPIC Comedy and Daniel's at Daniel F. Crow. Check out my special Goblin King on YouTube. And also, I'm posting clips on my Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube every Monday, Wednesday, Friday. So if you want to see dumb crowd work clips or, you know, watch my special if you want, like, you know, a well-polished routine. Or come see me out in Delaware and other places. Okay, that's everything. Enjoy the rest of the episode. George W. Bush is going to try out for the football team, but he's bad at football, so he's a cheerleader. We all remember that George Bush
was
a cheerleader.
Okay, we all know George Bush was a cheerleader, but he's also, like, the part of this joke is that he's not athletic. They say no one in the Bush family is athletic. George Bush is not an unathletic guy. He owned the Texas Rangers.
Well, you
from
Texas like to own people.
I'm getting to the point. He likes sports. He's kind of famous for throwing the best first pitch of any president ever.
Is he?
Straight down the middle right after 9/11 in New York.
Really?
The guy is not unathletic.
Why didn't he catch the plane then?
Well, good point. All right.
Why didn't they make the whole played out of George Bush's first pitch.
But, I would have guessed the most athletic president was Taft in the Coney Island hot dog eating contest.
No, it probably is Gerald Ford.
They didn't count that as a sport yet.
Gerald Ford was captain of the University of Michigan football team.
Really?
But also probably Teddy Roosevelt up there. He founded the NCAA, was very into athletics overall. This is not funny, but
he was very performative with his, like, I'm a man. You're a rich kid from upstate. Like, calm down.
He beat asthma, and that is something you don't stop bragging about.
Sure. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
That was just a good point.
Right? I'd still go Ford over Roosevelt just because Ford played in a later era where better techniques were developing. Anyway, it's not really important.
Right.
The thing is, the episode is funnier if Bush is actually good at sports, but decides to do cheerleading because he's dazzled by it.
Yeah, sure. That is much funnier.
If he makes a decision.
It's funnier, yeah.
Absolutely.
Not to use a writing term, but the justification was when he's just like, we're going to be cheerleaders. It's great. You get to yell. Everybody watches you. Like, and I was like, yeah, that's a funny thing for a... Although I don't know George Bush, real life George Bush, being like, everybody look at me. Like, he's not like known for the... Well, I guess he's kind of known for the showmanship.
Well,
he's
more of
and everything.
That's the thing.
And like,
he was more known for, like, it's the idea of like, he was the guy you want to have a beer with, even though
you
want to
have a beer with him. Yeah, even though he didn't drink.
But that's kind
but
of.
But then,
the
like
vibe.
The costumes, he's wearing like army fatigues with the mission accomplished.
Exactly.
He's a cowboy sometimes, and
he's just going. It's literally a puppet. It was a puppet leader.
Yeah,
I mean. To a degree that is more obvious the older we get.
Actually, yeah. Lil Bush would have had a Northeastern accent. He wouldn't have adopted that Texan one till later.
But he would have.
From Connecticut.
Yeah. Yale standard.
Yale boy, yeah.
So
C-minus Yale.
So he's doing cheerleading with Tony Blair.
Antonio Blair.
Can't do he also can't do football because British people are too
gay. He thought it was soccer. He thought it was the other one. But he's
British
and gay.
Football.
Yeah.
That's what we're establishing in this episode. All British people are gay. In fact, it makes his mom think he's gay.
And she doesn't want him to, you know, drive on the wrong side of the road.
There's so many weird half innuendos.
Yeah.
Tony Blair's mom in this is the Queen of England, I'm pretty sure. That's not canon. That's not how that works.
That's how you become prime minister, is you're the Queen of England lays an egg, and then when it hatches, you're prime minister. I'm a bit of an anglophile.
Anyway, that's a Muppet Baby style birth.
Yeah, so then there's just 9 more minutes of them going, British people are gay, right? And then at the end, Bush goes, I'm not gay. And then it just kind of ends.
But they're rolling around. So it's like, you know how sometimes gay guys roll around and cheer and pull tassels off their bodies.
They're wearing pink outfits for some reason, just because it's gay.
But they dance around it. They're like, oh, no, he's going to be British. And then at the end, HW is just like, oh, better than all that gay stuff.
But then we find out how his parents met.
Oh my God.
I did love this. Yeah, I did genuinely love how disturbing this was.
If they had made the whole rest of the episode out of this part of the episode, I would have loved it. Like, why did we put this at the very end?
Yeah. Insanity.
It's so weird. It's just tacked on in the last 2 minutes.
Out of nowhere.
Yeah.
So go, Daniel, you want to.
So W does his little dance routine.
Yeah.
And then HW goes, you know how I met your mom? He's like, how? He's like, well, I fell in love with a quarter. And then I was like, I have to be with George Washington. So he dug up George Washington's corpse. And then he just dug up Howard Taft's torso because he was the most feminine. And it had feminine hips. Both.
Yeah, it's the only president to have breasts and then also had the wide birthing hips.
And then he dug up Betsy Ross and inserted her feminine parts onto Taft's torso. And that's how Barbara Bush was made.
By the way, they say that first. And then they go, oh, is that nonsense? Let me explain.
Yeah.
He just says it as
a flashback. We see the Frankensteining happen.
Because he goes to the Washington Monument and goes, I have to fuck the president.
Yeah.
Now, this doesn't work for you because this tone has never been set up until this point.
If the show was this
whole way before, I might kind of be like, all right.
If the show was this Kafka-esque horror, yeah. like, Yeah, that would be, I like the show where, and I wonder, because we only, the top rated episode is episode 3.
It's always sad when such an early episode is the top rate, because you know they didn't have a lot of good ideas.
Yeah.
Especially if a second season, and they're like, nah.
Well, second season does have the second most top rated episode.
Is it the Vladimir Putin one?
No, it's, I think it's about the medical crisis.
Oh,
yeah. But
thank God that's over.
Yeah, it is also crazy how little has been solved.
A little has changed, but like, yeah.
Yeah, Dennis Kucinich still very much in the public eye.
Still out there.
He tried to run again, actually, I'm pretty sure. Recently.
For office or in general?
just trying to get his heart rate up. Yeah.
He's running from aliens still.
Good Kucinich reference.
I really like Kucinich at the time.
Yeah, you would.
Yeah, the little socialist guy.
Yeah.
Listen, there needs to be more short representation in the White House. Okay. Wait, last episode.
And then the last half of this episode is he doesn't want to do chores. He hires a Mexican person to do it. He doesn't feed them. They die. Very funny.
TBS, very funny.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's literally. That's and the then episode.
Was the one that more than any of the other episodes where I was like, oh boy, like not because like, oh, I can't believe we used to do this because we still, but just like the jokes at the expense of
were
Mexican
rough.
People well, instead of the policies. Like,
you know who plays the Mexican guy though?
Oh, is it?
It's Carlos Mencia, former subject of a bottle episode.
Oh my God. Yeah, we did Mind of recently.
That'll, somehow that'll more be the offensive than if they got a white guy to do the voice.
Because he's not Mexican. He's like Guatemalan or something. Honduran. Yeah.
I think, I think I knew that. I do remember because he does like, play up being Mexican shots, and then, yeah.
I'm gonna remember accurately so that we can really take him down.
Oh, wait, we forgot to mention that it's in one of these two, I can't remember, but there's the B plot with Obama played by Tim Meadows.
Oh, that's, I think that's
the Mexicans one.
Yeah, it's a Mexican one because George Bush gets a Mexican crew.
Okay.
Yeah. And then the rest of his crew is like, let's blindly follow another leader. And they choose Barack Obama, who they're just like, he's young, he's good looking, he's charismatic, let's follow him. And I was like,
And then they build a house for Habitat for Humanity with him.
Yeah.
And he's like, we're just building this out of the goodness of their
famously
heart.
Famously, the president known for Habitat
exactly.
for Humanity.
What were they doing?
There's literally a precedent for this who would have been an easy who is actually this joke.
Yeah.
He's literally
they could have had
joke.
Him be like the school advisor is this old as fuck Jimmy Carter. That would have, and I mean, granted, 20 years, like now he's like incredibly old, but like then, like he was still building houses back then.
Right,
like,
exactly.
I listen, you're slandering Jimmy Carter, but I just want to say
not slandering
Jimmy Carter, still a fox. I'm just want to put that out there. Yeah, exactly.
That would kill him.
You get a look at this. I mean,
there's a chance he's dead before this episode comes out.
That's true.
If that happens, we need to record an like RIP to go at the start.
Yeah.
Like, we didn't know.
We called you Jimmy because your name was Jim.
Jimothan James Carter.
That's at the beginning of the Mexicans episode. The fishy dies. His fish named Fishy. And then at the end, there's an in memoriam. It says, in loving memory of Fishy. We called you Fishy because you were a fish.
But also, so they bury the fish in the backyard.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Then
next
the Mexican
to a bunch
dies.
Of other pets.
Then the Mexican person dies at the very end. And they bookend it by burying the Mexican person in the backyard next to the pets, which, terrible taste.
Yeah.
And then they do RIP for Fishy and not
Raul Zappa, whatever Baba they call Dubop, him. Yeah.
Which is literally that's what they called him. I'm not just doing.
Yeah.
That's the laziness of the joke.
Yeah. That was this whole thing. I was like,
that lazy.
Yeah.
I think there's a Roger Ebert quote of when he was reviewing. I can't remember what he was reviewing, but like,
probably
if you're going to try to name someone funny in your comedy, it better be funny or just give them a normal name.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely.
That falls into that.
I think about that a lot with like when comics wear like really funny comedian shirts. It's like, don't wear a Bill Murray shirt on stage.
Yeah.
Why are you going to remember? Why are you going to make me think of someone effortlessly funny instead of you clearly trying?
Yeah. That's something I always loved about the Marx Brothers was like Groucho's characters were always named like Reginald T. Horsefeather or like it would just be a ridiculous name. It always had a middle initial. It always had this like aristocratic first name and then just an.
But
bananas,
and they're great
name.
As long as they're fun. As long as you're like, as long
but
as
you can't just give up on the name in the middle of it.
Yeah,
yeah,
you can't do that.
No, you can't just be like Hornerman.
Friend two,
friend two, already better.
Yeah,
I would have liked, and Amigo too. Like, that's already a better joke for this episode.
Yeah.
Okay. I feel dirty after watching this show a little bit. I would not recommend anybody watch it.
Doesn't make you wish for the bygone era and carefree days of the Bush administration?
Makes me long for my amped mobile phone.
Proud sponsor of Bottle Episodes. Still waiting for the check to clear.
By the way, it actually would have been way funnier if they dropped that fishy thing, because by the time that episode aired, Amped Mobile was bankrupt. Yeah. And it should have been like RIP Amped Mobile 2005 to 2007 or whatever.
Okay, so Daniel, what would you improve on the show?
Put it on a 2-inch screen.
Hell yeah. All right.
No, look, in order to have any chance, you need to start airing this in like 2001. People are done.
Even 2003.
Yeah, people are done by 07.
9/11 had just happened, so people are still like a little tense.
Are you trying to have like a long run when you know he's out of office at the end of your second season? What are you doing?
Well, that's what, if you do.
You can't stay topical. They're trying to cover an entire presidential administration in this 2 seasons.
I wonder, like what would be like, like when the execs were like, what's your season 2 look like? What's your season 3? But I think it was like,
do you have a series Bible? And they're like, oh,
No, we put this on phones.
We were honestly, we're surprised we're here.
Yeah. People are getting,
we have Iggy Pop. Do you want this or not?
Oh, fun fact. I did look up, the one guy for this show, the main guy, I forgot.
David Mitchell?
George Bush?
Yeah, David Mitchell. He's in 2 other shows we're going to cover at some point.
Wow, prolific.
Which David Mitchell?
The
I know.
Yeah,
I know.
Cloud Atlas?
Yeah. I don't think they made a Cloud Atlas TV show yet to cover.
No. And it should have been a miniseries. So.
That's all about alternate universes, correct?
Yeah, basically.
Theoretically, this is one of the alternate universes of Cloud Atlas.
That's true.
Lil Bush? True. They're just all in the Bush administration as kids.
And recommend a show?
If you want some political satire, there's like a old British show called Yes Minister. I'm reminded of Tony Blair.
There you go.
And I've already recommended The Thick of It.
Yeah.
So I just need to keep going to British political satires, and I've dug to Yes Minister.
There you go.
Yeah.
And Kevin.
What would I improve about this show?
Yeah.
Well, it's perfect, but I think... either don't make it or make it like so topical. Like, I guess what I'm saying is this should have been South Park. It should have been that level of topical.
If
and,
your
like,
animation's going to be that bad, just like make it so that you can like just get people's face and mouth moving. But that's the fact that South Park works is because they're geniuses in like,
it's the actual satire of real events. And this one was more just like, let's just throw in some vague politicisms of the time and let these characters like play around with it like a normal sitcom. So in that sense,
go ahead and finish your thought.
I was gonna say, in terms of like, if you're just gonna make it just dumb and not really about anything political, that's my Bush is the show to watch. Like, it's literally just sitcom.
Well, but the problem is it's like, it's sitcom premises where they're just telling us vague political points on what's quote unquote right, which is not to say whether or not it is any regard on any topic they're saying.
Yeah,
they're just making the darkest, weirdest joke they can,
right,
and then being mean to each other around it.
Your comment on the lack of topicality in the shows makes me realize that Lil Bush is more of like a greeting card character than the lead of a TV show.
Yeah.
Like, you could buy cards with a General George Bush quote in it.
Yeah.
And he's like a little kid.
That's why they made the show. Honestly, it's because they realized they were like, we could just merchandise this.
I'm surprised there's not bumper stickers of Lil George.
Like, let him hang
in. On like to a...
Let him hang in your back window like Garfield.
Yeah, or the Calvin peeing.
Yeah.
This was like one more season away from being like a merchandising success.
Yeah.
Boy, if only George W. Bush could have got a third term.
That's the only merchandising reasons. That is like, honestly, like,
Amped Mobile would still be with us.
Well, in the same way, like, we got stuffed crust pizza because of the government. Like,
what?
Wait, did you not know that?
No.
Is that part of the PPP loans?
So in order to get people to
pizza,
drink
pizza, pizza, pizza loans?
In order to get people... That was me saying P as many times as possible.
Yeah.
The government bought a bunch of cheese. Like, literally.
Government cheese.
But, and they put it in caves. And then they also sold it to pizza places, and they were like, we'll give you this much at a discount. So they bought so much that they had to use it in other creative ways. So they made stuffed crust pizza because they had all this excess cheese.
That sounds like a plot from Lil Bush.
Yeah. But that's real.
I believe you.
What's amazing is that Andrew Jackson, when he had a bunch of cheese, he just said, come over and have some cheese.
Let's do a party on the White House lawn. He didn't capitalize on it.
Yeah, he literally was just like, come on. He did a Weekend at Bernie's screener, basically, but with a block of cheese, which was the Weekend at Bernie's of the time.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Cheese Kid at Bernie's.
Yeah. But anyways, if you want to watch another great show from this era of Comedy Central, I'm always going to say it. Stella only got one season. The fact that Lil Bush got two is insane because Stella was great.
I think
one and also based on short form web videos.
Gotta be cheaper.
I think Stella was free to produce. Yeah. I think the first season of Lil Bush was basically free because they got it from Amped.
Or like half off.
What do you mean half off? What
like
does that mean?
Half of them they may have already taken from Amp. They might have had to produce the other half.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. They probably had to produce a lot.
Obama was like barely in it as like, oh, he's going to be next president. It was very much like after 2004 convention when people were like, who's this new guy?
They
like,
may have just, if it had been a wild success, they could have just updated it to Little Obama.
Little Obama, yeah.
La Bamba.
Watch the movie La Bamba if you want to have a good time.
Lula Gossett Jr.
Anyway, you need to tell us what you would improve and what show you recommend.
Okay, so right now we have Iggy Pop in the show. I think we just get a lot of musicians to play all the characters. Mm. And then you make it like a weird mumblecore show where no one's really, because it's just people bemoaning the state of the world that they're in.
Yeah.
Like you get like Zach De La Rook in there and like Flea, because we already know he can play Dick Cheney.
Right. Well,
he's had
his Dick Cheney hanging out at Woodstock 99. So
are you trying to think of Donnie from Wild Thornberries?
I was trying to think of Donnie from Wild Thornberries.
Oh, that is Flea. Yeah.
So Flea can already do that weird. I think you just get a bunch of musicians to kind of do a mumble. You get like where nobody's like trying real hard in the voice acting, because then they can deliver these dark jokes and the tone is kind of like nihilistic. The tone still feels so much like they care.
Yeah. And it would make more sense to have a musical number in every episode, which
my God, you're right. There is music in every episode.
Yeah.
And it's not nothing.
Actually, bearing in mind that there's music in every episode, can I switch my recommendation to Lancelot Link Secret Chimp?
Sure.
All right, great.
Check out that episode instead of, or you can watch it. I think you have to buy it on Amazon, or a couple episodes are free on YouTube.
It's a show we did an episode about secret agent monkeys that have a band and they always play a song.
I'm listening.
Yeah.
It's like it's
from the 70s.
It's like a Scooby-Doo.
Get Smart and the Monkeys.
Exactly.
Some,
yeah.
Like somebody heard Literal Get Smart monkeys. Meets the Monkeys, but they didn't know what the Monkeys was. They just, yes, and it.
They chipped their way out of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Woo-wee. Okay. And as far as a show I recommend, here's a good show about government, Parks and Rec.
Yeah, technically. Yeah.
Which, weirdly enough, fucking Donick Cary, the creator of this show, wrote on Parks and Rec.
Oh.
So there.
Makes me think less of Parks and Rec.